But there's a looming question that we want to consider this morning, and that is, do we really want the will of God? And you say, what do you mean by that? Well, you know, we say we want God's will, but do we really? And how do we know that? You know, the fact of the matter is, a lot of times believers in Christ, just to put it the way it is, talk a good talk. We talk a good talk, but when it comes down to doing and living, sometimes we don't apply ourselves the way we say that we want to. And this is often revealed in the way we think, in the way we apply the Bible, and in the way we participate in the things of God in our lives, whether or not we really want God's will and how well we know Scripture. He uses an example of Barna Report, the Barna Research Group published last August. They ask Americans to agree or disagree with some basic statements about morality. And the Barna Group came out of this calling this the new moral code, the way Americans think. So they ask Americans to agree or disagree with certain statements. And then, as they always do, they ask Christians, they ask believers, to agree or disagree as an independent subgroup of Americans, how believers respond as believers. That is, they say they're born-again believers, committed to Christ. Do they respond the same or differently than the rest of America would respond to the same statements? And these are statements about making moral choices and decisions you would make. For example, I just want to give you a few out of this, but for example, the first is the statement, the best way to find yourself is to look within yourself. Agree or disagree, the best way to find yourself is to look within yourself. Overall, Americans, 91% of Americans agreed with that statement. 91% of Americans agreed with the statement, the best way to find yourself is to look within yourself. How many Christians in particular agreed? 76%. More than three-fourths of Christians surveyed said, yeah, the best way to find yourself is to look within yourself. Americans agreed with that. 76% of Christians agree with that. The Bible doesn't agree with that. The Bible says the best way to find yourself is to lose yourself, to submit your life to Jesus Christ. Another example. The statement is, to be fulfilled in life, you should pursue the things you desire most. To be fulfilled in life, you should pursue the things you desire most. 86% of Americans agreed with that statement. 86%. And 72% of Christians agreed with that statement. To be fulfilled in life, you should pursue the things you desire most. But the Bible says, to be fulfilled in life, you should give your life to Jesus Christ and follow His purpose for your life. One more. The statement is, the highest goal in life is to enjoy it as much as possible. The highest goal in life is to enjoy it as much as possible. 84% of Americans agreed with that. 66% of the Christians agreed with that. 62% of the Christians said, yeah, the highest goal in life is to enjoy it as much as possible. The Bible says the highest goal in life is to love God and worship Him only, to please God with your life. Where does this big disconnect come from? Could it be that while we talk a good talk about being believers who want the will of God and who know the Word of God, the truth is we're not. The truth is we're talking a good talk, but in practice we follow the ways of the world around us and we follow our own will, our own agenda. We might say we want God's will, but the fact is we really want to do what we want to do. That's how we want to live our lives. So I want to zero in on that this morning. I want us to consider what it means to want the will of God in the first place. Before we look in the next couple of weeks of how God guides us and how to learn God's will in relationship to Him, let's ask that question and answer it honestly. Do we really want God's will? Do we really desire to know and to do the will of God? And why does it matter? Why does it even matter that we want God's will as followers of Christ? The Bible reveals that wanting God's will exposes specific truths about our spiritual condition. Now, you'll remember our basic principle in this study. It's that knowing and doing God's will reflects a right relationship with God. Remember that? Knowing and doing God's will reflects a right relationship with God. God's will is not a thing that is lost that you've got to find. God's will is part of His nature. The better you know Him, the better the relationship with Him, the more you are in His will and living in His will. So it's part of your relationship with God. Now, with that said, to want God's will, to desire God's will, reflects the condition of that relationship. The desire to know and to do God's will is a gauge to the health of your spiritual condition and your relationship with God. If you focus on whether or not you want God's will and what that really means, you'll learn a lot about your relationship with God. You'll learn a lot about the truth of it, the honesty of it, and where you are in your spiritual condition. Let me give you an example. Let's say you have a child, you have a little boy, and you raise your little boy to clean his room. You tell your son, "Son, it's part of your job, you clean your room." And for most of your son's childhood, he agrees with that. And he might try to skirt it now and then, but he cleans his room. And the reason he cleans his room is because he wants to please you. He wants to do what you want him to do. Then your child gets a little older and becomes this thing called a teenager. And as a teenager, your child gets to know other teenagers and goes over to other teenagers' houses. And he finds out that friends of his are not required to clean their room. So he starts saying, "I don't think I want to clean my room." The day he's supposed to clean his room, he doesn't clean his room. And the two of you start to develop this battle of wills, so to speak, where one against the other. He's exerting his will, and everything starts to be about whether or not he's going to clean his room. He doesn't get to do the things he wants to do until he cleans his room. Your conversation, center around, "Did you clean your room?" And on it goes. I know this doesn't apply to anybody in reality in this room today, right? But it's about the cause. See, here's the thing. You know that cleaning his room is not about cleaning his room. You know that cleaning his room is about your relationship with him and whether or not he's willing to do what you want him to do. It's about the relationship, not a thing, not a task, the relationship. You see how we falter when we consider the Word of God and the will of God? When we consider the will of God, often we think it's about a task or it's about a decision. No, it's not. It's about a relationship. And it all comes down to just one thing. Are you willing to do what God wants you to do? Are you willing to obey? Are you willing to follow? Are you willing to submit? And right behind that, we have to decide and understand and look, take a hard look at ourselves and ask and answer the question, do I really want to do the will of God? And why does it matter? Do I want to do the will of God? Do I want the will of God in my life? And why does it matter? Do I desire God's will? Let's look at that this morning. I want you to consider with me a few truths this morning that Scripture bears out that gauge our spiritual condition. As we consider whether we really desire, whether we desire or want the will of God, what does that tell us about our spiritual condition this morning? First of all, wanting God's will, the Bible teaches that wanting God's will shows that you are saved. Wanting God's will shows that you are a child of God, you're born again, you are saved. Here's what I mean by that. Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 50, Jesus said, "For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven, that person is my brother and my sister and my mother." Jesus was defining spiritual relationships. He was defining the family of God based on this one fundamental fact. People in the family of God want to do the will of the Heavenly Father. They want to do what God tells them to do, and they do it. He said, that's how you'll know somebody's saved. That's what Jesus said. That's how you'll know they're saved, because they're doing my Father's will. And they choose to do my Father's will. The Apostle Paul spoke of this in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Paul said, all those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. Now, Paul was basically applying this principle. He said, when you single out a crowd and you've got people who are not being led by God's Spirit, which means they're being led by their own desires, their own passions, their ambitions, their choices, their agendas, but not God's Spirit. And on the other side of the crowd, you've got folks being led by God's Spirit. Guess which ones are born again in Christ? Guess which ones are sons of God and part of the family of God? The people led by and listening to God's Spirit. The people who want to be led by God instead of set their own agenda all the time, those people know Christ. They're born again. Now, the point here is not that believers in Christ always perfectly and automatically do God's will. That's not the point. The point is whether you even care. That's the point. Whether you even care about God's will, whether you, in your heart of hearts, even desire to do God's will, whether you're doing it perfectly or not, whether you're obeying perfectly, that's not the point. The point is, the Bible teaches that those of us in this room who do not know Christ as our Savior, who are not born again in Christ, to be honest, don't care about God's will. And we might talk about it, we might look religious, but in truth, we're just sitting there thinking, when is all this going to be over so I can go eat chicken? Because we don't care. Well, if that is your perspective, you should be concerned. Because the desire to know and to do God's will is an indication you're part of the family. You've been born again in Christ. The book of 1 John is a letter by the Apostle John written to brand new believers. He wrote it to brand new believers to answer a question that a lot of people ask, especially when they're new Christians. How can I be sure that I'm saved? How can I be sure that when I came to Christ that everything was real, that I was saved and all? And he gives, the book is about this, he gives specific ways you can know that you're saved. And in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17, John says this, "And the world with its lust is passing away, but the one who does God's will remains forever." He doesn't mean by that you get saved by doing stuff. He means you can know someone saved because they're doing God's will. They have eternal life. They're going to live forever. The way that you know that is they want to do and they consistently try to do God's will. It's a benchmark. It lets you know that you're saved or that someone else is saved. Again, it doesn't mean we automatically do God's will perfectly, but the desire should be there. The objective, the desire to please God, the want to do God's will and to know God's will is a mark of a truly born-again believer in Christ. And if you're sitting here this morning and you know right away, here we are barely into Bob's message and he's talking about me, and you're not sure if you're born again in Christ, you suddenly realize, I really don't care one way or the other whether God's will gets done or whether I do God's will or live God's will, you should be concerned because you're pretending to be a Christian, but you're not born again. The reason the Bible calls it being born again is Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be spiritually reborn and start over as a babe in Christ. Jesus Christ will save you from your sins. Repent of your sin. Give your life to Christ. That's what it means to be born again. And then God puts in you the desire to do His will. So take a hard look at your life and your heart right now and ask yourself the question, do I really want God's will? Because if the answer is no, maybe you're not saved at all. Say, Pastor Bob, what do I do about that? Well, I'll tell you. The Bible says the gospel itself is very simple. It's not simplistic. It's very simple. That if you realize this morning you're not born again in Christ, the Bible says, first of all, acknowledge with God that you are a sinner and you cannot save yourself. See, God said He will not let sin into heaven. And every human being born on earth is a sinner. So acknowledge first that you are a sinner. You do things that God doesn't want you to do, and you do it by nature. And secondly, acknowledge that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. By His death on the cross, you can be forgiven of your sins. Because God raised Him from the grave, you can have eternal life. And then third, acknowledge you haven't done that yet. You have not put your faith and your trust in Christ. You know, the call of Scripture is to trust and follow Christ, because that's where it starts. You trust Christ to be your Savior, to forgive you of your sins, and give you a home in heaven, and you do that in faith. And by His grace and His mercy and His love for you, If you put your faith and trust in Christ, He will save you. And you'll be born again in Christ. Wouldn't that be amazing to come in this church this morning with just being born one time in this natural world and to leave this church today being born again in Christ? That this be your spiritual birthday. So I challenge you to look at your heart of hearts, to listen to God's Spirit. If He is telling you this morning, you need to be saved. And at the end of the hour, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do just that. I'll ask you to come and to meet me at the front, and we'll pray together so you can give your life to Christ. Wanting God's will shows you are saved. Secondly, wanting God's will results in obedience. Results in obedience. And notice the flow of the Bible here. If you know you're born again in Christ, then God puts a desire for His will in your heart. He brings that into your life. Next would be for you to obey God's will, for you to do what God wants you to do. And wanting God's will result in obedience. These things are, right here, this is hard to distinguish between these two, the wanting and the doing, because they really go together. If you want and desire God's will in your life, then you want to be obedient to God. The two things go together. And God will work those out in your life as well. Look at one verse with me, Psalm 143. Over in your Old Testament, Psalm 143 and verse 10. The Bible says, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your gracious spirit lead me on level ground." That's what the psalmist says. Notice what he says, "Teach me to do your will." The phrase is literally, "Train me to do your will." It's not going to be easy, God, and it will take my whole life, but God, I want you to train me to do your will. God, I want to be obedient to you. Why? Because you are my God. See, what the psalmist is saying is he has a relationship with God. As we talked about it, and the New Testament speaks of it being born again, he has a relationship with God. Now he wants to. He has the yearning to be trained in God's will, to apply it to his life. And look at that last phrase, "May your gracious spirit lead me on level ground." Hundreds of years before Paul wrote the words we read in Romans chapter 8, those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. The psalmist said the same thing. "The Holy Spirit, lead me on level ground." See, he understood how it works. God, teach me your will. I want to do your will. I want to be obedient to you, and the Holy Spirit will lead me and teach me in doing that. It results in obedience. The desire, the want to do God's will results in obedience, doing God's will, and God's help in doing His will. See, sometimes that's what we're concerned about. We come across things that are rocky times. How will I know if I can do what God wants me to do? Well, the good news is God is growing you and leading you forward, and God just wants you to be wants you to trust Him, be faithful to Him, and obey Him each step of the way. You can do that, can't you? Because God will help you. God will lead you, and God will help you each step of the way. So, believer in Christ, let me ask you a question. Are you being obedient to God? Maybe you say, I want God's will. I want to do what God wants me to do. But when God shows you what He wants you to do, or when God shows you things He doesn't want you to do, things that it's time to get out of your life, do you back off from there? So let's pick something else. You got any other choices, God? And that's why you're stuck right there. Because you're being disobedient to God. And as long as you're disobedient in what God is asking you to do, He can't lead you forward on level ground. He can't keep you growing in your faith and moving you forward. God is asking you to do one thing, God is working in your life to do that one thing. The question you have to answer is, do I really want God's will? Because if you do, that means being obedient to what God wants you to do. Simple obedience. And that's how we grow. Which leads me to the third truth this morning. Wanting God's will demonstrates spiritual maturity. Wanting God's will demonstrates spiritual maturity. A beautiful thing about our growth in the spiritual life and the Christian life, the more we obey God and follow His Spirit and learn His will, the more we obey God. The more we grow in that and learn what God wants for us. And what God wants for us in His will, the thing that we learn is that God's will is always God's best for us. God's will is always God's best for us. You know, the Bible teaches that on planet Earth, there are two kinds of people. Just two kinds of people on planet Earth. Lost and saved. That's how God looks at it. That's how Scripture looks at it. Two kinds of people, lost and saved. And God wants all the lost people to be saved before it's too late. But lost and saved. But the Bible also teaches that among believers, among the saved, there are also two kinds of people. There are people who are growing in Christ and becoming spiritually mature. And there are those who are not. Or, as the Bible says it, they're immature believers. They're stuck. And the sad truth is, the Bible teaches that this group is larger than this group. That in the church, among God's people, there are a lot of believers who are stuck in immaturity. Why? Because they're unwilling to obey God and His Word. Spiritual maturity and spiritual growth happens when we say yes to God's will, obey God's will, and we grow in God's will. In fact, the Bible applies this truth in particular ways to God's will in your life. For example, in the spiritually mature people, this is one way you can know if you're growing and you're maturing spiritually. Spiritually mature people in Christ want God's will for everyone. Because again, we know God's will is God's best. God's will is God's best, not just for us, but for everyone. So the spiritually mature person wants God's will for everyone. That's why when Jesus taught a model prayer, we call it the Lord's Prayer, He taught a model prayer. Matthew chapter 6, He says, in that prayer, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As part of a believer's prayer. Can you say that sincerely? You see, what Jesus was saying is, if you want to be a disciple of His, if you want to grow and mature in your faith, what's going to start happening, and what He wants us to do, is want God's will for everyone. That's for planet Earth. He said you should want God's will carried out perfectly on planet Earth, just as perfectly as it is in heaven. Because it's best for everyone. It's best for every human being to follow God's word and God's will. So a mark of spiritual maturity is to want God's will on earth for everyone. But then also, obviously, a mark of spiritual maturity is for believers to want God's will for other believers. For other believers. To actually pray that they would grow in their faith also. That they would come to a knowledge of His will. The Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 1. Look at that. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. Paul opened with a statement of, this is what I'm praying for you, when he wrote these young believers. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, Paul says, for this reason also, since the day we heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you. We're asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and growing in the knowledge of God. Paul is demonstrating that a mark of spiritual maturity is for you and I to want God's will for everyone. For everyone. You know, sometimes when we clash occasionally in the church, we clash over opinions or circumstances and things like that in the church. Not only should we be praying for one another, we should be praying for one another to be in God's will, to know fully God's will, to walk worthy of Christ, to be pleasing to Him. When was the last time you prayed that for your brothers and sisters in the Lord? For the family of God, that they would be in God's will, they would know God's will. It's a mark of spiritual maturity that we want God's will for everyone, and we want God's will for all other believers. But then obviously, third, it's a mark of spiritual maturity that we want God's will for us, because we learn God's will is God's best. God's will is always best for us. Again, the Apostle Paul, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Paul said, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you will know, that is, you'll discern what the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God is. God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect. And the believer knows this. The believer knows, as we grow and we mature, that God's will is God's best for us. God's will is always God's best for us. As we mature in the Christian life, as we spiritually mature, as we want to do God's will, we also find that God can use us to honor Him, or as the Bible puts it, to bear fruit. But that also comes in that intertwined relationship. Jesus said this in John 15:5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me." See, our problem is we're wanting to do everything without being in right relationship with God. We're wanting to choose everything without being in right relationship with him. And Jesus says you can't do that. If you want God's will, you're in right relationship with God. You're being obedient to him. You're growing in spiritual maturity. And God is using you to bear fruit. What does that mean? Well, God is using you to bless other people. God is using you to expand his kingdom. Every day you wake up and you say, "God, I want your will, not mine. God, I just want to obey you today." God can use you to do great things for him, to impact the lives of your friends and neighbors and your family members. God can use you to lead someone to faith in Christ. God can use you to fly to the DR to change a life there. God can use you to bear fruit in the world because you are wanting and desiring his will. And it's demonstrated in your spiritual maturity, your spiritual growth. See how that works? It all circulates around your relationship with God and your desire to know and to do his will in right relationship with him. As we said last week, God's not hiding his will from you. If you're struggling with it, the question is your relationship with God. So that's where it starts. Again, if you're not certain you're born again in Christ, today's the day to trust Jesus as your Savior, to start over brand new, be forgiven of your sins, and start over with Christ today. If you're a believer in here today, you know you've been saved, you know you've been born again. Are you stuck in disobedience? You're just stuck where you are. Because the truth is, you talk a good talk about wanting God's will, but the fact is, you don't really want to do what God is asking you to do. You don't really want that in your life. Well, as long as you're disobedient to him, that's the area he's working on. It's hard for you to grow in your faith. It's hard for you to move forward. It's hard for the Spirit to lead you on level ground, as we read. It's hard for God to bear fruit through your life because you're being disobedient to him. And maybe it's your desire to be obedient to him. Ask God what he wants you to do. There's a question here that I like to ask. What's the disconnect for you? What's the disconnect? Is it that you're not saved? Is it that you're disobedient? Is it a problem in your life and you want to deal with that first? Is it that you're afraid to bring God your worries and your problems? What's the disconnect for you that you're saying you want God's will, but you're not practicing that? You're not doing what God wants you to do. 400 years ago, William Shakespeare passed away, and since he passed away, there has been just sort of a mystery and rumors around the United Kingdom and those circles where people study William Shakespeare and his life and his death, of whether or not his skeleton was complete in the tomb, okay? And by that I mean, there's always been a rumor, and maybe it came from the Hamlet, that the skull was not with the skeleton. Well, and the problem is that where the body is buried, where William Shakespeare was buried, there's no access to it. It's under a church, so there's no real access to that. So how do they figure that out? Well, finally, researchers have the ability with sonar to scan the skeleton, and they did that not long ago to determine if the skull was with the skeleton. Guess what they found out? Nope. No skull with the skeleton of William Shakespeare. Now, there had been rumors of what had happened to it. Maybe it was stolen later. Maybe it was moved. Maybe it was put different places. So the researchers went to all those places, and they have yet to find the skull of William Shakespeare. And you've yet to figure out why I'm talking about this, right? Think about this for a minute. All that talent, all that potential in William Shakespeare. But what if he had no head to guide him? Ever thought about that? What if all that he wanted to do, all that he could do, but he had no head to guide him? That's an image you won't get out of your mind today. But for you and I, We want to do all these things. We think about doing all this for God, but the fact of the matter is we won't surrender ourselves to Him to guide us. We say we want God's will, but what's the problem? What's the problem? Is it that you're disobedient? Is it that you're not really saved? Is it that you don't understand God's word? What's the problem? If you're honest with God and you surrender to Him, He wants to work in your life. His will is His best for your life. Will you accept that today? Will you accept that today and let Him start working in your life? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we pause here this morning, God, You're speaking to our hearts. And I pray, Father, first for that one who realizes this morning they have never been saved. Maybe been very religious, maybe been talking good talk, God, but as You speak to their hearts, You're telling them they need Christ as their Savior. Father, I pray today they'd be saved. And that desire, God, to do Your will, that desire to do what You ask, that desire for Your best in their lives, Father, would flood into their lives when they give their lives to Christ. I pray, God, for the believer who's holding back, a believer who's disobedient, a believer, God, who's stuck in one place in their spiritual growth because they talk a good talk, God, but they don't really want Your will. God, forgive us for that. And Father, may we today surrender to You our will, our agenda. May we today yield all this to You, God. Say, God, this is Yours. My life is Yours. But Father, please work in our midst this morning. Please call us home to You. Please change our hearts, our attitudes, our minds, God. Please take away the bitterness, the strife, the unforgiveness. Take all that away, God, so that You can focus in on working out Your will in us. And God, how I pray today will be the day we leave this place, Father, truly desiring Your will in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.